It's showtime.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Washington is fundamentally corrupt. There are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible.
Made in America, heard around the world. You're listening to Blunt Force Truth. I'm Chuck Woolery, along with my co-host Mark Young. And here we go, folks.
All right, Chuck.
This sounds like SpongeBob SquarePants.
It is SpongeBob.
One of my favorites.
But there's something about, there's a sad, dark underbelly to SpongeBob that you're not aware of.
No. Please tell me it isn't so.
Apparently, the far left has now decided at the University of Washington Anthropology, Professor Holly M. Barker.
Well, bless her heart.
She wrote an entire paper about the problematic and normalizing of violence by SpongeBob SquarePants.
Is this like a PhD thesis?
SpongeBob is whitewashing violence in America. He is a colonizer who normalizes violence and racism. He makes fun of indigenous people wearing his Hawaiian shirt and his pineapple-faced home, pineapple-shaped home.
Think about Elmer Fudd and what trouble he's in.
Well, SpongeBob is practicing cultural appropriation with his Hawaiian shirt.
These people are just insane, aren't they? I mean, and on top of that, I don't know why the news picks them up. I mean, they're like a blip on a page. Do they resonate with anybody? Or right, just what, other than be just ridiculous?
Well, we talk about the escalating cost of going to college these days.
Government problem.
But you have professors who are writing thesis on SpongeBob being a colonizer.
I mean, how good can it get?
This is complete lunacy.
It is.
I mean, I want to make this clear. I'm not making jokes here. This is lunacy. Mm-hmm. This is mental illness. When you're writing serious papers about SpongeBob's Hawaiian shirt, well, misappropriating Hawaiian culture.
It's not a serious paper. It's ridiculous.
But it was meant to be a serious paper.
Well, I know, but that's even more ridiculous.
And then speaking of insanity, Jane Fonda has announced that she is a climate scientist.
She has been for 20 years, she said.
Yes.
I have no idea where she got her credentials, maybe somewhere in Hanoi. Well, I don't think people even remember Hanoi Jane.
I remember Hanoi Jane.
But you and I are older. We remember that stuff. I don't think the average student even knows about that, probably.
So she says that she is a climate scientist. She claims Al Gore is one. Oh, absolutely. She also claims Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a climate scientist.
PhD.
And says that Greta Thunberg is also a climate scientist.
She's only 16.
So you're an ageist?
I beg your pardon?
You're an ageist now.
Well, yeah, I am.
Now you're being a bigot against young people.
Yes. You found me out.
You do know that this is going to be on the front page of Salon now. Chuck Woolery admits he's a bigot.
Yeah, right. Well, whatever.
Fonda said that she was very motivated and spurred by 16-year-old Swedish protester Greta Thunberg.
Of course she was.
This little Swedish girl holds her sign every Friday in front of the Swedish parliament. And that's why, this is Jane Fonda speaking, that's why I've chosen Friday too. And to prove that, Jane went and got herself arrested being a climate scientist.
Or her husband used to get arrested every other week in California.
he was a big lefty. This is how you're a climate scientist. What makes you a climate scientist?
How many times you can get arrested?
Is how many times you can get arrested protesting.
So your rap sheet is your credentials.
Right, that's your credentials. Also, if you believe in the climate hoax, you have to believe in the climate hoax to be a climate scientist.
Oh, I see.
Because understand, Chuck, if you believe in the real science, Mm-hmm. You are then a science denier.
You notice how this is never debated? It's one of those things where you just accept it or not. I mean, this is so typical of the left. There is no debate. We just exclaim and it's true.
Well, Chuck Schumer tried to put a bill on the floor getting the Senate to vote that climate science was an irrefutable given science that was no longer up for debate.
Right. Of course, nothing is up for debate with Democrats. Take a look at what's going on in the House right now. It's like a frat party on Friday night when the beer kegs are flowing. I mean, these people are nuts.
And think about this from a science.
You know what I think about? I think about the people that voted for all these new Democrats so that they would control the House. Is this really what they voted for?
I can't imagine it was. But I mean, think of the concept of science. How can anything be settled science?
Listen, a lot of things are settled in Democrats' heads. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But I don't claim to be a scientist, so what do I?
Well, it's because you're not insane. but think about this. The comment, the think about the term settled science. It's an oxymoron on its own. Because listen, science is the exploration of knowledge.
These people
are
running around scaring children to death. I mean, this is like the guy, the boogeyman under the bed. It is insane. It's so nuts what they're doing. It's beyond comprehension. And it's very, very frustrating.
Now, Hunter Biden, by the way, every time Biden puts a tweet out, I always respond to his tweets with, "Where's Hunter?"
Well, we found out he's on ABC with Samantha, whatever her name is.
Now, ABC, as we all know, is the pillar of journalistic integrity.
Absolutely. They had Syria blowing up
in Kentucky
at night, this giant ball of fire going up. And of course, it really wasn't Syria. It was Nob Hill in Kentucky on a firing range. Jeez.
Okay, now, as someone who spent their life in television.
Mitch McConnell must be very upset about that you know, Turkey's attacking Kentucky.
True enough. But as someone who spent their life doing television.
Yes.
How could that accidentally have become part of their news broadcast?
There are no accidents in television news. None.
Kind of my point.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't just randomly grab the wrong clip.
No.
And put that in there, did they?
It's called drama. It's Hollywood. You just make it up as you go.
Right, but news shouldn't have artistic license.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
There you go.
Drama there you go has again. Artistic license.
I mean, really. People have to be so disappointed in news today. I mean, the average person has got to say, where in the world can I go to get any information? Because this is so skewed. It's so upside down. I mean, the average person's got to be very frustrated watching NBC, CBS, ABC, the evening news, the cable channels. I mean, it's just nuts. And people have to know it.
There's no credibility. You look at ABC News running Kentucky as being Syria.
I know.
You look at this Project Veritas CNN thing that they're doing right now. Have you watched any of those clips?
Oh, yeah. I tweeted them out. Yeah.
So, I mean, you look at this stuff, and O'Keefe has got tons of footage showing people within the CNN organization just saying that our job is to impeach this president.
Well, you know, it's interesting because
The news.
He had a whistleblower in there, didn't he?
He did, but that doesn't qualify as a whistleblower.
Well, I mean, the Democrats aren't really interested in protecting this guy. He lost his job.
But the whistleblower is not important now in the Washington, D.C. case.
Well, of course not. Adam Schiff says the transcript is out.
Because Adam said, you know, it's really, you know, because the president is saying, I want this whistleblower to testify in open court in front of the American people. Adam Schiff, well, we don't really need the testimony.
So all these hearings and everything are held in secret because it's the Intelligence Committee, don't you know? And
speaking of oxymorons.
Yeah, and they're all Democrats. This is what happens when you give Democrats power. they seize it and they hold on to it and they exclude everybody else. So the House is not in sessions of any kind. The Democrats are in session and the Republicans are totally excluded. This has never happened in the history of our country. Only now, because
they turned Republicans away at the door to the,
yeah,
to the session.
Gates tried to get in and watch. He's on the Judiciary Committee, and they made him leave. He couldn't watch anybody testify. And so then they, I mean, this is so upside down. People have to be aware of this, and hopefully they are, and know what a farce this is.
But Chuck, if they're not listening to the Fox News evening shows, and I wanted very specific,
yes, thank you for shows, clarifying that,
or listening to Rush, or listening to us, or listening to, you know, Mark Levin, they're not hearing this.
Isn't it incredible that you have to go to opinion shows to get the news?
You do.
I mean, you can't get it anywhere else.
Opinion shows are more likely to give you accurate news than the news right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, good Lord. I mean, think about this.
Well, listen, think about this. You have the New York Times, which discredits themselves every day. You have the Washington Post, which does the same. And these are the two main sources that Fox News uses during the day and sometimes in the early evening in order to, you know, talk about the news. And neither one of them, they're both in the tank for Democrats. So why bother? And then if it's not that, it's Axios or some other left-wing,
you know,
nut job. Throw in the Washington Examiner or just any other semi-conservative news, just straight news organization. It's just amazing to me. All our news is based on fraud.
Now, they just, when you were talking about the secret behind doors interview, they did 11 hours interviewing Fiona Hill.
Mm-hmm. Explain who Fiona Hill is for everyone.
Well, here's the thing.
You know.
Now, here's the real key. Fiona Hill, I don't know if you know this, Chuck. Fiona Hill was not even working in the White House at the time of the call that the president made to the Ukraine on the 25th of July. Hill resigned before the call.
That doesn't matter.
So the only
thing resigned over the fact that he recalled the lady diplomat, I can't pronounce her last name because I don't speak that language, from Ukraine, didn't she? She was all upset Correct. About that. And these are all Obama holdovers and deep state people. I mean, you know, Trump is just trying to get rid of as many of these people as he can.
So Hill testified for 11 hours mm-hmm. about the phone call. And the only testimony she had was the rumors that she heard about the phone call.
Yeah, I know.
And what did Adam Schiff say about it? She was very disturbed about Trump's phone call with President yeah. Zelensky.
Everybody was very disturbed about Blasey Ford, too.
So the Democrats are clearly, I mean, it's so insane. They're taking testimony from people. It's like the whistleblower who was never there. Now they're taking testimony from people who were never there. They have the transcript in their hands. That's not working for them. So we're going to dismiss the transcript. And we're going to start getting opinions of people who weren't there, and we're going to say it's evident.
Imagine we're going to dismiss it up. Now, who did that?
Right.
Adam Schiff did that.
Are you going to believe your lying eyes, or are you going to believe
excuse me.
This hearsay?
It's, you know,
politics. In a court of law, you can't sit on a witness stand in a court of law and testify to hearsay. You're either a witness or you're not.
But then they always say, well, this isn't a court of law.
That's correct. And you know why it's not a court of law? Because they won't take a vote.
They don't want the Republicans being able to call witnesses. Only Democrats can call witnesses, and only Democrats can examine them. There can be no cross-examination. This is a Democrat show, period. This is like Obamacare. It's Democrats on Democrats. And if you don't like it, you can lump it.
The reason the president is pushing them to take a vote, folks, is for two reasons. One, let's expose the Democrats and see who really wants to vote for this.
Well, yeah. Because
that's going to cost them some seats.
Maybe.
Number two, if they hold a vote and make this an actual inquiry into an impeachment,
legitimize it.
Now the minority party has subpoena power.
Sure.
And the president has the right to a defense.
This is one of those things where you have absolutely, they're basically holding a grand jury.
And they want the president to be defenseless in this process.
He is defenseless right now.
This is nothing more
than a kangaroo court.
Yes, and trying to relitigate the 2016 election because they know they have no one who can win in 2020.
Boy, don't you know that's true.
That's it in a nutshell.
They just get rid of their competition.
If they thought for a moment that they could easily defeat Trump at 2020, all of their efforts would be placed on the reelection.
These people in the news, including Fox, want a horse race so badly they just can't stand it. They're all propping up all these Democrat, you know, presidential runners, and they're just, there's nobody there that's even interesting to them. And then they won't let Fox do a debate because they're too right wing, I guess, for Democrats right. to have them debate. So they, basically, the answer the Democrats have to everything is shut down any dissent anywhere you hear it. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear about global warming being possibly not true. I don't want to hear any scientific evidence. Shut it down. Everything is settled, and we're in charge, and you listen to us, and this is how it's going to go. I mean, it's the most undemocratic thing in the world.
Yeah, it's a complete destruction of the First Amendment.
Yeah.
But if you look at these candidates, think about this.
You know, the thing of it is, Mark, they feel – this is the disturbing part. They feel really comfortable doing this.
Yes.
There is a comfort zone for these people to do the most outrageous things, and they believe they can get away with it. If they didn't, they wouldn't be doing it.
Well, think about it. Schiff got on TV this week, bug eyes and all, and looked directly into the camera and said, "I should have been more clear." Okay, that was his response to weeks of blatant lying. Mm-hmm. When his lies became so apparent that even CNN couldn't cover them up anymore, his response was, "Well, I should have been more clear."
Yeah.
So now, this is again, you know, remember back with Clinton with what was the definition of is.
Yeah.
So now when you blatantly lie, you don't mea culpa the lie. You don't apologize for the lie. You don't admit the lie. You just say, "Well, I should have been clearer." How is one clear when they blatantly lie? When the lie is, "Did you ever meet with the whistleblower before or after filing it?" And the answer was no. "We never met with the whistleblower, but we would like to." That was his answer.
I remember watching him say it.
Now the evidence shows that Shifty Schiff and his team did meet with the whistleblower. Probably a good chance they helped him come up with the complaint.
I'm sure that someone else wrote that, a team of lawyers somewhere.
And now that that is evidence, the answer is, I should have been more clear. How could you be more clear than "we never met with him"?
Well, you can't. You lied.
But this gets back to what I was saying, what you were saying, when you were saying they're comfortable with this.
They are comfortable in this zone. They can lie to you. There's no problem. They can claim Trump's the liar. And, I mean, it's just like Hunter Biden got on with Samantha Guthrie and said, "Well, if it weren't for Donald Trump and
Rudy Giuliani,
I wouldn't have to resign. Nobody know," and blah blah. I mean, they blame everybody but themselves.
This reminds me of being a cop. Reminds me of being a cop, and you arrest somebody for drunk driving, and they blamed you because you arrested them.
Right.
I wouldn't be sitting in this jail tonight if it wasn't for you.
Right. I'm sure you heard that a lot too.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what this is. I wouldn't be in trouble for being on the board of a Ukraine company or taking money from China if it wasn't for Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani.
You know, we have to believe that middle America, and when I say middle America, from the South to the North, middle America, just isn't going to stand for this. I mean, either that or the Democrats just think people are absolutely stupid. So it's one or the other. I mean, they've said that they thought people were stupid anyway. They'd vote for them. And I think Hillary Clinton said that, and others have said it as well. And I believe they, I just don't think they have any respect for the American people at all. I really don't.
Well, think about this. Biden says that if his father becomes president, then he'll, then I will stop doing all of this improper information or dealings. Here's the part that concerns me. I don't care. First off, Hunter Biden is on the board of like 20 foreign companies. Do you know there's that many?
No.
Oh, it's insane how big the list is. Where I have the problem is he got, let's say, he came back with $1.5 billion after going on a trip on Air Force Two. Mm-hmm. He got put on a board at $166,000 a month in Ukraine, where his father was in charge of the Ukraine program for the United States.
Well, he was point man on China and Ukraine at the time.
Now, if you look at the federal statutes for federal employees and elected officials, it says not only must you avoid impropriety, you must avoid the appearance of impropriety. That's actually in the statute.
That's never stopped a Democrat. Ever.
But how, let's assume for a moment.
Hey, if people will accept it, then they'll just continue to do it. And
here's what I'm saying. Let's assume for a moment that the Ukrainian gas and oil company thought that they needed Hunter Biden.
For access.
Well, no. They needed his expertise.
Well, after all, he was a lawyer, and he said he headed up Amtrak, which his dad used to run. Remember when Joe Biden used to say, yes, I take Amtrak to and from Washington all the time. So he put him in charge of Amtrak, which is losing money hand over fist.
Now, do you know what happened 3 months before Hunter Biden became this great counselor to the Ukrainian gas and oil?
He went out of his way to tell you he was a lawyer. What?
Oh, yes. But do you know what he was doing 3 months before he got that appointment?
I do not.
3 months before that, he got thrown out of the U.S. military for cocaine use.
Oh, so was that early on?
It was 3 months later.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that close.
Mm-hmm. So apparently the Ukraine oil and gas company thought to themselves, you know what? We need a crackhead on our board.
I'd feel sorry for this guy, but there's just no room to do it.
But sometimes you just need a crackhead on your corporate board because it brings a different perspective.
It's amazing, isn't it? Just amazing how vile these people are. It really is.
I mean, I just want people to think of this. Does anyone, and I would love to hear from someone in the audience that can send me an email or a tweet. Does anyone believe that a guy who was drummed out of the military for the use of cocaine 3 months later, that the board of an oil and gas company in Ukraine legitimately thought this person can bring value to our board of directors?
Or that the Bank of China would give him a billion with a B, five.
A billion?
I mean, you know, if it was Hunter Johnson, would they do it?
If it was Donald Trump Jr., would they do it?
I have no idea.
What would this look like if that was Don Jr. and not Hunter Biden right now?
Well, we all know that. I mean, the shoe on the other foot, you know, is like every day in the news, put the shoe on the other foot. And I just wondered, hopefully people do. I hope they think their way through this.
It would be wall to wall 24/7 coverage right now on CNN.
You know, the interesting thing is I don't think Biden had a chance anyway. Long before this even happened, long before the phone call with Ukraine and everything, I was saying that Biden's not going to make this. The Democrats don't want him.
Well, I think Biden's going to pretty much blow up because of this.
I think Biden blew up long before that, but anyway, he's just.
But I think this is going to finish him up. Well, as I blew up, that didn't help him.
Yeah.
And I think this is hurting him. Bernie, I think, is done.
Yeah.
I don't think Bernie's going anywhere.
It's Elizabeth Warren or somebody that we've never heard of before will come leaping forward for some unknown reason, the George McGovern of the Democrat Party will carry the banner again, whoever that is.
The thing is about Elizabeth Warren is, so we look at her as the front runner right now. We've got the fake Indian issue. We have the fake I got fired for being pregnant issue.
Isn't it amazing?
We have the fake I'm going to have a beer drinking video.
Yeah.
What was her other great lie? She had another biggie. Oh, I'm the daughter of a janitor. So all this stuff's phony. If you look at her platform, there's no daylight between her platform and Bernie's.
No, but she claims she's a capitalist. Well, she's about as much as a capitalist as she is an Indian.
Exactly.
There's no way.
But she's calling herself that.
I mean, she said about Denmark, and the president of Denmark came back and said, no, we're open for business. Don't call us socialists.
Well, you got AOC over there talking about how much better it is.
It's always better to the left. Europe is always a better place to live than America to the left. It always has been. It always will be.
Except Denmark's about the size of Rhode Island.
I know. They always make these false comparisons.
And you know how much the annual income taxes are in Denmark?
Something like 60% or something.
Yeah, it's close to 70%.
It's crazy. It is nuts. I mean, I'm looking at California, and they're talking about this mass exodus from California of the middle class. Well, if you want to create a socialist state, the first thing you have to do, excuse me, the first thing you have to do is get rid of the middle class. So you tax them out of existence, they leave, and now you've got the ultra poor and the ultra rich.
Yeah, which is what California is turning into.
Yeah, it's going to be a socialist state.
That's why it's one of the reasons they have half of all the homeless people in America are in California.
Well, I guess if I was homeless, I'd be in Florida or California where it was warm anyway.
No, go to California. We don't want you in Florida. Mm-hmm. Okay. We already have enough homeless people in Florida. Governor's sticking with California. So Governor Gavin Newsom, he's been busy. He's got a pen and a cell phone, apparently.
Yeah, they're busy, all right.
He signed a bill requiring colleges to provide free abortions to students. Mm-hmm. He signed another bill banning fur.
They've been trying to do that forever. I mean, remember in New York when people had fur coats on?
Throwing paint on them.
And they throw paint and all that kind of stuff on them. Yeah.
So now you can't have fur.
They're an angry bunch, aren't they?
Very angry. You can have leather, by the way.
It's really interesting. They signed this bill saying that schools can't open till 8 o'clock.
Right.
Well, now, what about these parents that have to work? I mean, these mothers that have to work to take their kids to school, and what, are they just going to be late for work?
It's California. Nobody wants to start work early.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you lived in California. Nobody was doing anything before 9 a.m.
When I lived there, it was a far different place than it is now. It was.
It's amazing how fast. I mean, you were watching the decline.
Oh, watching it. I remember when
Hit hard, hasn't it?
Palos Verdes had the highest rated schools in America. And by the time I left, they were among the lowest.
Yeah, California's taken a hit pretty hard. You saw how
I'm not Newsom, saying, I didn't mean Palos Verdes, I mean the Palisades.
Now you saw how Newsom ordered all the electricity shut off.
Yeah,
PG&E. And then he had a guy die without his oxygen. Mm-hmm. And Newsom said that was collateral damage.
He'll be a footnote.
Right, he's collateral damage. But now Newsom has ordered the power company to pay each person who he ordered the power cut off to pay each person $100.
Well, I mean, that's got to be able to, restock a refrigerator here and there.
But think about it. Okay, so I order you to turn the power off. I use my governor's power to tell you to turn the power off. Then I say, how dare you turn the power off? I want you to pay every person who you shut their power off $100 to make it up to
him. He's not a governor. He's a dictator. And, by the way, I'm sorry, California. I love living there. I love being a part of that community. I had a great career there. You deserve what you get. You hired these people. This is what you get. So either you change, because they're not going to, or you'll just continue going downhill the way you're going right now, and it's a shame.
Shouldn't California just leave the country and just become their own country?
Well, that's not going to happen. But I mean, to break it up into four different states. They got all kinds of little games that everybody plays. It's not going to happen.
But California has really become a European country.
Well, like I said, Democrats love Europe.
But I mean, wouldn't you say that though? I mean, they become France. They're not U.S.
Yeah.
They're more France than they are United States.
I agree.
Hillary Clinton, Chuck, says that women can have beards and penises.
No, that wasn't Hillary. It was Chelsea.
Well, Chelsea and her mom together, I think.
Oh, they said it as a duet.
Mom, daughter, penis, beard duet.
Well, I have a beard and a penis, so that makes me a man, right?
No, you can be a woman if you have a beard and a penis.
Oh, please. Well, you know, this whole I identify as this, how long does this stuff last? Eventually, people have to say, all right, I've had enough of this. This whole multiple gender thing and 78 this, and I mean, it's just, it is insanity stacked on insanity, promoted as the truth. And it's just nuts.
Meanwhile, while the Clinton women are out looking for bearded penis women.
I mean, do these people ever look in the mirror and say, okay, I'm going to say this, and this will resonate with five people?
Yeah, I think this is a vote getter here.
Seriously.
I think you now know why I cheated on Hillary. She got a beard and a penis. That's why I'm right. That's why I've been out. So anyways, we received an email to Chuck Woolery attacking Chuck Woolery's mental state.
Well, a lot of people have had that under attack. Some family members.
So this is, I want you to listen to the sentence structure of this well-written email, Chuck.
Well, I can fall into that category of bad sentence structure, but go ahead.
But when you type an email attacking someone's mental well-being and their intelligence, you should assume your email may be subject to scrutiny. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair statement?
Yes. By the way, folks, I have no idea what he's talking about. He gets this stuff. I don't. So
it says, this is from Howard Litwack.
Okay.
So Mr. Litwack took his time to write to you, Chuck, and I appreciate him taking
Where's Mr. Litwack from?
He did not share that information with us. Okay. Mr. Litwack says, there's an old saw that Chuck Woolery, living demonstration of the Dunning-Kruger effect, should remember, better to keep your mouth closed and be thought a fool than to open it and settle the question.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah.
He goes, oh, that's an old saw, isn't it?
That is an old saw.
He goes on to say, you know nothing about Hegel.
Blowback from Hegel.
I know. Hegel has nothing to do with progressivism today.
Oh, my gosh.
And you clearly don't even understand the founders. You're just an unbelievable moron.
Hegel.
Signed, Howard Litwack.
Hegel stirred the nest. And I think I mentioned this before. I got professors at Fordham University. I mean, it was unbelievable. They just came, when I mentioned Hegel, they just came unglued and said, well, at least I'm glad that the name Hegel is trending, although I think you were trying to get, what's her name, Susan Heigl or whatever her name was. Confused with her, the actress, I can't think of her first name is. But anyway, Hegel just pressed a button on all these people, and it pressed a button on the intelligentsia of the academics, which I thought was really interesting. All of a sudden, they have this overwhelming philosophical view of, you know, everybody but Aristotle. And they just want to pass it on that we're just all idiots and we don't know nothing about philosophy.
Of course. I like this. There's an old saw that Chuck Woolery, living demonstration of the Dunning-Kruger effect, should remember,
Dunning-Kruger, so, that was a pretty good law outfit, as I recall.
Well, it's like Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. So my first comment is, I'm assuming, Howard, that English is a second language for Howard.
Oh, you know what? Forget the punctuation and all that. I go through this every day with people, you know, correcting this and correcting that. You make mistakes, and I don't care. Howard has his idea of things, and that's fine.
Are you familiar with Dunning-Kruger?
No, I have no idea who Dunning-Kruger is.
I can explain Dunning-Kruger for you.
Do you need to? I mean,
I think we should. I think it's for a moment. It won't take long.
Okay.
Dunning-Kruger was a pair of psychologists who did some research, and they wrote a paper, which is called the Dunning-Kruger effect. And what the Dunning-Kruger effect is that there are certain people who their very ignorance and cluelessness on a topic has risen to such a level that they no longer have the self-awareness to understand how stupid they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be me.
I think the Dunning-Kruger effect does explain a lot. And all kidding aside, Dunning-Kruger effect does explain a lot of what you see on the Democratic side and in Congress.
You know what? It just doesn't really matter, does it? It really doesn't. People who disagree with you, if you in your life are settled with your beliefs and you're happy with them, the way you feel about your life, then some philosopher will come along and say, no, you got it all wrong. Some psychiatrist will come along, no, you've got it all wrong. And they're constantly chasing their tails, trying to find an answer to a question they can't even form. So it doesn't bother me. I don't care.
One of the things that I find on Twitter, Chuck, is that people will want to engage or debate, and they have no interest in learning anything. They have no interest. They are not married to their questions. They are married to their existing answers.
Well, I suppose a lot of us are to a certain extent. I mean, that's probably not.
See, I don't think that's the case with you. And I don't think it's the case with me.
No.
I've seen you change your opinion because of new information.
Right. Yeah, I will do that. Yeah.
So new information.
I'm willing to learn.
Right. New information will change your mind. These people have so many of these people have no interest in new information.
Well, the thing that gets me is that when you have a PhD behind your name or whatever, and I'm not, you know, education is important, I suppose. But it's, they get such a condescending, supercilious attitude toward anyone. Everybody's beneath them. They know everything.
Oh, man.
And they're experts on everything. And they're going to tell you how stuff is.
I'm glad you told me that, because I will soon have a PhD after my name.
God help us all.
So that means I'll be able to do that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. This is so cool.
I know.
Chuck Willery, you know nothing.
You know nothing, you ignorant slut.
I have a PhD after my name. That means I know everything about everything.
Mm-hmm. It is an arrogant bunch, boy. It really is. Just amazing.
Well, I promise that I will not get any more arrogant than I currently am.
There's no self-awareness. There's no reasoning. There's no problem solving. It's just, and there are more questions than answers. And that's the world they live in. So let them. I don't care. I have my world.
And by the way, part of that, I agree with you. I mean, we should be living in a world where we have more questions than answers. Because
yeah, but the problem is
too many of us are locked into the answers. Right. Too many of us are locked into our answers and not our questions. Yeah. That's why my argument on science, you can't have settled science, because science is a question.
Well, you can't have faith either. Faith is no place in their world. None.
Well, faith is, I mean, that's part of Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. As you said earlier in the broadcast, we have to get rid of the middle class. You also have to get rid of faith, because you can't have people subscribing to a philosophy that's not centered around the government. The government has to become God, and the government has to be everything.
Or fake science.
It's their fake World War III. Yeah, as we've talked before.
They think we're just as fake as they are, though. So, you know.
Well, but you know what the difference is? We think they're wrong. We think they're fake. They don't just think we're wrong. They hate us. Mm-hmm. You don't hate
No, I don't hate people. I really don't. I mean, disagree with them or whatever. Listen, I lived in Hollywood 45 years, almost maybe a little bit longer than that. I got along with everybody. I enjoyed people's company. I mean, I had a lot of, almost every friend I had was a liberal, and I got along with them just fine. You know, I like people.
So, I mean, we look at Adam Schiff.
Just because I disagree with him.
I mean, when we look at hate, hate is wanting the total destruction of another individual. Mm-hmm. That's well, wanting their destruction and their death.
I mean, they will destroy you. They won't just hurt you. Or they won't just disagree with you. They'll destroy you.
Do you want the total death and destruction of Adam Schiff, or do you want him to just tell the truth?
No, I would like to have Adam Schiff exposed. Right. I don't care. If people want to continue to vote for him, that's fine. But at least expose him for what he is. And then you can make up your mind. I don't have to. I didn't vote for him. I don't live in his district.
So, Chuck, I found this to be really interesting. Fusion GPS Glenn Simpson.
Yes.
Reveals that he was hired to investigate Trump in the fall of 2015. Mm-hmm. And claims that memos from the Steele dossier made their way directly to Barack Obama.
Well, I'm not surprised at that. It's going to be interesting to see how shielded Barack Obama is from all of this, because there's in place a giant shield, you know, that surrounds the president from anything like this. And I don't know whether he can be shielded from this or not, whether people will just accept it or as the news comes out and things are flushed out. I mean, when Durham flushes all this out, when the IG report comes out, all of this stuff, I don't know whether it's just going to be a ho-hum. The news probably won't cover it. It's going to be interesting to see how this is all handled.
So when we look at this thing, Hillary Clinton and the DNC in 2016 presidential election hid payments. They buried payments to Fusion GPS by having the money run through a law firm called Perkins.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, first off, little side note, the Southern District in New York is trying to go after the president, claiming that he made payments to Stormy Daniels mm-hmm. improperly.
Right.
But we have no problem with campaign finance fraud. Okay, we're good with that. Now, the Perkins paid Fusion.
Who used to be head of the Southern District of New York? You know who used to be head of it?
Wasn't it Cuomo?
No, Giuliani.
Oh, Giuliani was at one point. Then it became the guy with all the prostitutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Spitzer.
Spitzer, yeah, he became the big deal. Right. So Perkins paid Fusion GPS, who then paid British spy Christopher Steele to comply to put the Russian dossier together on Trump. To this date, there has not been anything in that dossier to be verified, although Adam Schiff gets on TV and says the entire dossier has been verified.
Well, so did Comey.
Right.
So did Rod Rosenstein.
And yet there is no evidence of this verification. But.
Well, they think there was.
But as Goebbels always said, a lie told often enough becomes truth.
Yeah, but you're telling this lie to a court, to a secret court. And it's interesting that none of these judges have ever stood up and said, you know, we won't stand for that.
And that dossier, which was unverified, was used to obtain 4 FISA warrants mm-hmm. on the Trump campaign advisor, Carter Page. And Glenn Simpson is claiming Obama read the memos on what was in that dossier.
Look, right or wrong, and I could be wrong, from all the texts I've seen between Stroke and Page and things like that, the boss wanted to know everything. And the boss was Obama, so I'm sure he knew everything.
Yes, he did.
It may have been a White House operation. Frankly, when you boil it all down, it might have all come out of the White House. Then what do you do?
Do you ever just sit sometimes, Chuck? I got to ask you this. Do you ever just sometimes, because I'll admit this happens to me. Sometimes I look at this stuff, and I'm so frustrated with the depths of the lies mm-hmm. and with the overwhelming amount of it that I sometimes want to throw my hands up and say, oh, to hell with this. I don't even want to listen to this anymore.
I said it this morning, not to you or not to anybody else, but to myself. You do. It's very complex. The Democrats never do anything that's really, really simple. They try to muddy the waters with complexity. So it's extremely complex. And by the time, you know, Durham gets through with all this, it's going to be very complex to unravel it as well. And most people probably won't even understand it. But again, back to my point, say this is an operation that was run out of the White House. And I wouldn't doubt that that's a fact. It may not be, but I wouldn't doubt it. Then what do you do? How do you hold everyone who's out of office and been out of office for 3 years, how do you hold them responsible for what they did 3 years ago, for 3.5 years ago?
Well, if you had an honest news media, you could at least expose all these people for what they are.
Well, I mean, say they'll be exposed in court. But then what do you do? I mean, what are they going to put Obama in jail? You're going to put Hillary in jail? You're going to put Comey in jail and Rod Rosenstein and all the people who are complicit in this? Are they all going to go to jail? Half of them are not even in the government anymore. So
Brendan, Clapper, Comey, Strzok, all those people, they do belong behind bars.
Brennan,
those people belong in prison.
Well, they may, and yet at the same time, they probably won't.
Do you think Hillary belongs in prison?
Yes. Yes, by definition of her crimes, if proven, instead of just speculating on what they are, but if proven, yes. I mean, how can you possibly, just as an for instance, take 30,000 emails that are under subpoena and delete them, and then take a hammer to all your devices? I mean, all this stuff was under subpoena.
I can guarantee you that you and I would not have got away with that.
Well, isn't that always the shoe on the other foot? You can't get away with the stuff they get away with?
We definitely would not have gotten away with it.
And, of course, they say, well, look, the answer to this are elections. Elections come up and we get rid of them and we hire people that we like instead. And then they come back with this crap with Trump. I mean, it's been going on 3.5 years and longer, really.
But these people, as you were saying, Chuck, they're comfortable with lying. Look at Biden.
Well, they're comfortable as lying as long as they can point their finger and say, no, it's you that's lying.
But look at Biden. He's out on a campaign trail saying how proud he is of the 8 years of the Obama Biden administration because it was controversy free.
Well, that's anything but the truth. I mean, just Benghazi and Fast and Furious are enough to, you know, dissuade you from that.
The IRS attacking Patriot groups.
The IRS, yeah, yeah.
The phony FISA warrants that happened under him. The whole Russian interference happened under him.
Well, there's an interesting thing behind this that you may not have considered. And that is, if the Democrats say it, then it's done. And that's the way it's always been in Washington. If they don't have to do anything, all they do is have to say something.
It's wrong.
We're going to give you free tuition. Okay, thank you, done. Of course, it's never done, but to them, it's done. And to the media, it's done because they said it.
It's just wrong. And you look at the way, you know, I'm going to explain something to people real quick. You look at groups like MoveOn.org, George Soros-funded groups.
Dear God.
These are groups that are out to drive this very broadcast off the air, as well as others like Rush Limbaugh and Mark Levin and the Blaze.
We're targets.
And we are a target of theirs. I mean, they go after our advertisers. They threaten our advertisers. They bombard them in emails claiming they're going to do boycotts and things. I mean, this is the way they live. This is the way they play. They're not out to play by the rules. And that's why the Republicans look like a bunch of fools all the time, because they're trying to use the, you know, the Marcus of Queensbury's, you know, rules of engagement and use Robert's rules of order in Congress. How is Robert's rules of order in Congress have anything to do with having secret meetings in the basement of the House doing secret interrogations? I'm frustrated, as you can tell.
I think, I hope that America is frustrated. I mean, I can only hope.
It's mind-boggling to me, Chuck. Here's I'm going to close out with this one. This one's another one that just is mind-boggling to me. This is another effort from our esteemed congresswoman from Detroit, Rashida Tlaib, her compadre, Ilhan Omar, who you should not talk about her divorce because she needs her privacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's a whistleblower.
Yes. And by the way, you and I can qualify as whistleblowers now just on this program because you don't have to be a witness to anything.
Right.
The other people who joined her was Mr. Green from Texas.
Oh, Al Green.
Al Green. Houston. Yeah. And a Mr. Carson from Indiana.
I don't know him.
So they have put a resolution on the House floor, and they have put this to the Committee for Foreign Affairs, which they are asking for a congressional vote on this. You ready for what this resolution is?
Sure.
This is House Resolution number 544. This is not hearsay. This is, you can go look this up. This is H.R. 544. For the U.S. and the Congress to recognize Islam as one of the great religions of the world. Mm-hmm. And I have the entire resolution here. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's, you know, recognize Islam as one of the great religions and that the Quran is the primary scripture. And Muslims consider the Quran, you know, the word of God. And it's the second largest religion in the world. And it's the fastest growing religion in the world. Why does Congress need to pass a resolution identifying Islam as the fastest growing religion in the world?
But didn't you tell me that Rashid Tlaib isn't even a Muslim?
Not according to her own sister. But what would she know?
Absolutely.
Why do these are the people who are arguing for a separation of church and state? These are the people who say that Vice President Pence isn't qualified to be the vice president due to his Christian beliefs.
Boy, the world has changed, hasn't it?
You think?
I mean, as we sit here, the world has literally changed. It has gone totally upside down. It is Orwell on steroids.
Yeah, Orwell was a freaking optimist at this point.
At this point, he was an optimist. You're right. I mean, holy cow, that's brilliant, frankly.
Yeah, but these are the people who, I mean, think about this. Buttigieg is out saying that Pence isn't qualified to be a vice president because of his belief in Christianity. Mm-hmm. But we Saint need, Buttigieg, yes. What's that? Buttigieg? 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 The guy's a fundraising monster, though, isn't he?
I don't know. Is he? I mean,
oh my God, he could raise more money than anybody.
Yeah, he's not going.
He's not running for president.
What's he running for?
He's running for vice president.
Okay.
He is. Think about it. Mm-hmm. If you're running for president, Buttigieg can raise more money than anybody. The only person who can raise more money than Buttigieg is Bernie, and that's by a couple of bucks. Because mm-hmm. Buttigieg has a lot of money coming in from the gay lesbian crowd. So you got this guy, you get a communist, you get to say you have the first gay vice president, and he's a machine for raising money.
Yeah, the Democrats are wonderful for the first this and the first that.
But he is, think about it, as the Democrats appear, he's a wonderful vice presidential candidate to them. Communism, money, and he's gay. He's literally in a sitcom from Fox Entertainment.
You know that he and his family celebrated Marx's birthday? Every birthday, every year.
I don't doubt that. Have you ever watched the television show 9-1-1?
No, I know about it, but I haven't watched it.
It's actually a pretty decent show. It's on Fox Entertainment. And people need to understand, Fox, the news network, and Fox Entertainment are two ends of the same continuum. They couldn't be further apart. Mm-hmm. On this show, 9-1-1, almost everybody on the show is gay. And almost every couple on the show is biracial or interracial relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, are there gay people in the fire department or in the police department?
Sure. Yeah.
Are there interracial relationships? Yes. Is it 70% of the population?
Well, in advertising as well as in television shows and movies, everything that's minority is presented as a majority. That's on its head too. And we're just supposed to accept it. And every man is, you know, this little prancy thing that doesn't know anything, and he has no position, and the wife knows everything, or the neighbor knows everything. And he's just, there are no men left in the world, according to, unless you're Stallone or somebody like that, you know, doing one of these movies. But by and large, it's just an odd thing. It's pushed on us every day. All you got to do is watch television, watch commercials, watch everything, and you'll see how it's pushed at you every day that this is the norm, when it's not the norm at all. It's, well, maybe how they hope the norm would be, but it's not the norm.
The cover on GQ magazine has a headline that says, you know, redefining masculinity. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're toxic.
We are toxic. It has a picture of Pharrell on the cover.
Okay.
Pharrell is on the cover with a blonde brush cut, a yellow brush cut, wearing this long flowing yellow gown that looks like it, and I'm not making this up, looks like it was made out of a Patagonia ski vest.
Okay. I'm trying to visualize that.
So this big flowing fluffy dress coat that flows, you know, forever, like a wedding gown, with matching hair. And this is the new definition of masculinity.
Well, Vanity Fair has a whole, you know, take on what's new and what's different and what's fabulous. And everybody in New York and everybody in LA and everybody in Chicago follow it and think it's the cat's meow.
But how is that the definition of masculinity?
Well, it isn't. Of course it's not.
So when do you think this
pendulum is going to swing, Chuck? Maybe in their eyes it is. I mean, they're diminishing the family. They diminish the father in the family. If you watch television, mothers are in charge of everything. The fathers don't do anything. Most of them aren't even in the household. And I mean, I see this commercial where this woman is driving this old clunker car and her daughter gets accepted to college. And she throws the thing in because she can't afford the tuition. Her mother says, "Why do you think I drive this car? So you can go to college." Oh, well, where's dad?
Good point. Where's the student loans? What does she need to save money for? Just put the kid in student loans and Bernie will pay them off for you.
I mean, that's just one commercial.
Go get a new car.
I could go down a list, but, you know, I'm not even sure what that's a commercial for, if you don't know the truth. But it's just the depiction of the absentee father, the diminishing of men in America, not even in the world, but just in America.
Do you think the pendulum is at least, if not swinging back, do you think it's at least swung as far as it can to the left?
You know, I watched an interview with Adam Carolla and Dennis Prager the other day on
both,
I
think, great guys
on Tucker. Yeah. And Adam was talking about this and he said, you know, there comes a time where the pendulum starts to swing. And he said, I really believe it's time now. And it starts with comedians. And he said, I know a lot of comedians who are sick of this and tired of it. And they're starting to go the other way and criticize it. So maybe the pendulum will swing back. You hope it will, because we're really living in uncharted waters. I mean, this is just insane what's going on in this country on every level of culture and society, what we're accepting or what we won't accept. There are no rules. There are no guidelines. There's no nothing. And maybe they're right. I hope Adam Carolla and Dennis Prager are correct. They have a movie that's coming out. I can't remember what the name of it is. But
yeah, it's on political correctness.
Yeah, it's opening in, I guess, Arizona first. But
it looks really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
but you look at guys like, I think they're right. You look at guys like Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle, yeah, when he came out with his special.
right. who are just, and really it's not that Chappelle's a conservative, because he's not.
No.
What Chappelle has rejected is the political correctness.
That's what he's rejected. Bill Maher, to a certain extent, has even rejected that. But, I mean, they're rejecting the obvious. It's all silliness. And, I mean, Jerry Seinfeld, you know, kept saying, I can't go to a college. I can't tell a joke anymore. You know, people just won't accept it. There's no humor on the left anymore. You can't make fun of anything because everybody's, you know, just, you know, offended. You can't offend anybody on any level.
But I see where Adam's going with this, because once something serious becomes a punchline in a joke, mm-hmm. it ceases to be accepted as being serious anymore. Right. So maybe there's some hope here that, you know, the stupid
people will
stuff,
come to their senses and not accept this crap.
I think as soon
you can
as
only we, hope.
As soon as we can get people to laugh at it, when we get people to laugh at how many bathrooms that we need.
I mean, when children and girls in school are saying, I'm afraid to go to the bathroom. So I'm not going to drink any water because I don't want to go pee in some bathroom where boys are coming in. I mean, it's, how did we get here?
Would you want to be a kid in school today?
Absolutely not. I'm glad all my kids are out of school. Thank God.
It seems like it would be pretty tough. You see that there's a young, I think it was a girl, I don't know the school district, who's now been arrested.
Yeah, for making a sign of the gun or whatever it is.
For pointing her finger at another student.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they said that she forced the evacuation of the school.
She committed a felony.
Okay, but did they evacuate the school because they were afraid her finger was going to go off?
I don't know. Who knows?
What kind of insanity, what kind of lunatic is watching our children where they evacuate a school because of a finger?
I have no idea, Mark. I mean,
if I was on the school board in that school, that principal would be unemployed by the end of the day.
You know, it's very interesting. You mentioned being on the school board, and this is really where everything starts and finishes as far as I'm concerned. It's that city council. It's the school board. It's the people who in the community run for these positions, attain them, and they're far left, and they do these crazy things. And it's really up to the citizens to get on board and stop this crap. And people have to run for these offices and take them over and bring some sanity back to where we are. I mean, it's the only way you can do it. Otherwise, we'll just be overrun by it, as we are now.
I think we should put you on the local school board in your district.
Can you even imagine?
You could win.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll run your campaign.
Right.
You could win. You could be on the school board, man.
I live in a very, very conservative part of the state of Texas. So
absolutely. That's what I'm saying. You could win a seat there.
Yeah, they don't need me.
Oh, well. Well, that's enough for today, Chuck.
Yeah,
we
it
beat
is.
This thing to, we
if you're not
this
frustrated
the
now. But you can change things with your vote. You really can, folks. You can vote those local elections, the school board elections. Those things are just as important as the national elections. Yeah, because it's where you live. So I encourage you to go out and vote for sane people. Find them and vote for them or run yourself. And thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you enjoyed it. You can pick us up on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podcast One. Leave us a good review. We would appreciate that. And we are growing by leaps and bounds, and we really appreciate our new listeners and want to tell you how much we appreciate you. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on Blunt Force Truth.